I'm Austin Meek with Waco Business News, and you're listening to Downtown Depot, where we track the ins and outs of Waco business. My guest today is Dr. Jane Dameron. She's a senior lecturer in communication at Baylor and was just awarded the Collins Outstanding Professor Award, given to the favorite teacher of that year's senior class. We talk about how she engendered such fondness among the student body, and she shares tips for improving your communication skills. But first, let's figure out what's happening here with commercial real estate expert Greg Glahn. I'm now joined in studio by our commercial real estate expert, Greg Glahn, for What's Happening Here, where Greg tells us what's going on in downtown and greater Waco. Greg, I saw recently that the city council had approved bikes and scooters to be downtown. So in June, there will be 50 electric assist bikes and 50 electric scooters coming from Gotcha Bikes that will be on the streets, hopefully not littering our sidewalks. What could this increased mobility mean for retail in downtown?
Yeah, I'm excited about it. I don't travel enough to know how far along this these concepts are in bigger cities, but I'm a major advocate of anything we can do. Obviously, it's the young professional generation that I think that would service. And as our downtown grows and its footprint gets larger, that becomes really important. It becomes really important to be able to move around between different offices and meetings, and it's exciting. I think it shows that our downtown's on the map for these type of companies. That we've got enough activity, we've got enough demand, and it's the chicken or the egg that I always talk about. We need people to want to be in downtown Waco, and we've got to have entertainment for them to be there. So, do the people come first, or does the entertainment? Transportation is part of it. So, I think it's this whole cycle, an exciting cycle to watch of a growth of a downtown.
I run into a lot of tourists at the Pokio shop in the Hilton, and many of them are coming to go visit the silos. And it's always a big question for them, should I walk to the silos? Should I take the silo trolley? Should I drive over there? And I always encourage people to walk because you can walk right past Spice Village and then you can see a lot as you're going that way. But it'll take you half an hour. And if it's 95 degrees outside, you're not really going to enjoy your walk, even if it is beautiful and you have some good candy along the way. But yeah, you're right. Having other options for people to get around, I think, will increase the mobility that people have and the activity that we see at the other downtown retailers.
It will. And obviously, when you get into July and August in Texas, it's easy for those northern folks to not want to walk. So I've always I'm debating getting an F-250 right now, but I'm downtown so much. I'm like, I don't know if I want to park a big truck downtown when I go down there two times a day. So when I saw that in the newspaper this morning, I was like, well, sweet, I can park the truck just outside, hop on a scooter, and I can go tour properties and show property from scooters. How nice would that be?
Well, when a lot of these tourists are visiting the silos, they're going to be compelled to walk right around the corner to 8th Street to check out this new coffee shop that Magnolia has said they're going to be putting in. There's also going to be some retail space in this building. It used to house CrossFit. What do you make of Magnolia getting into this retail game?
You know, the more the better. They execute whatever they do so well. Their products are so good. They're in such high demand across the country. I mean, it just continues to amaze me. The more we can have them do, the better. I'm sure their coffee is going to be great. I'm sure it's going to be even more of an attraction. And I keep using the term when the tide rises, right? All ships come with it. And I think that's part of it. I think they've branched out into numerous different business ventures, whether it's food and furniture. And I mean, the list goes on. But that's a big win for downtown. It's another great attraction to service the visitors, the local people, the businesses, everybody that's downtown.
Do you have any read on what might go in that building next to the coffee shop?
You know, I don't. I haven't heard. I've kind of heard rumors that that's going to be their furniture showroom. I don't know the validity of that. However, that's what I've heard rumors. The coffee shop I did hear about a month ago whenever that got announced. So that was exciting, but I'm just as curious as everyone to see what ends up going in the remainder of the building.
Commercial real estate expert Greg Glahn telling us what's happening in downtown Waco. Thank you for stopping by this month.
Absolutely. Thank you, Austin.
I'm now joined in studio by Austin Hooper for the Residential Recap. You are our residential real estate expert, and your company, AG Real Estate and Associates, just put together some figures that Mike Tribb from the Copeland has put together in a really nice little synopsis of what's happening in the housing market. Austin, tell us what's going on.
Yeah, we've been putting this out every month for a while now. Just kind of a snapshot on what's going on and month to month, and then also kind of how we're tracking for the year. We're safely in the sort of prime activity season, especially in the sort of the lower price, I should say anything under 200K, those are moving pretty quick. Lots of multiple offer situations within the first couple days on market. So it's starting to get a little crazy out there again, but not quite to the level of craziness that I think we've experienced over the last couple of years.
So the report shows that the average sales price for a home in March of 2019 was $206,000. A year before, in March 2018, it was $197,000. So we are seeing that the prices of these homes are continuing to escalate.
Yeah, so that comes out to about a 5% increase from 2018 to 2019. The 2 years prior to that, we were looking at more like a 10% increase year over year. So while property values are still going up, that rate of growth has slowed down a little bit, which honestly is going to be more sustainable and I think a good thing overall for the health of our market.
Yeah, so there was a headline in the Trib before this report came out. McLennan County home values increase less than in the last 2 years. And if you went on Facebook, you hear wailing and gnashing of teeth of people sad. But in your estimation, this is actually a good thing because it is more sustainable.
Exactly. In the same breath, the same folks are probably, complaining about their property taxes going up like crazy. So, there's the catch-22 there of we like to see values going up. And as our city grows, that's going to happen. Along with that comes a little higher tax burden. So for things to slow down a little bit, kind of let the city and the market take a breath. We're still going to see that growth. Certainly don't foresee any downturns or anything like that. But to chill out a little bit, tap the brakes a little bit is not a bad thing.
One thing I found interesting in the report was that homes sold in March fetched 98.35% of the listing price, whereas the year before it was 96.65%. So what that's saying is that, first of all, know that there's going to be some wiggle room when you see a listed price. But secondly, sellers recognize that they're probably going to be in a multiple offer situation, so they don't necessarily have to take your lowball offer. This really shows that sellers can put a price out there and there's a 98.35% chance that they can get what they're wanting.
Yeah, absolutely. And the average days on market that we see, that has gone down as well. So same sort of indication of lots of interest, in the early few days of a home being on market. So in those situations, you're going to see the sales price being a lot, 98 point whatever it was of the list price. So, if we examine that data a little bit more, what you'll see is certain homes are going for above asking price. And there are others that maybe you were a little too bold, or your agent was a little too bold in what they think they could get, so they listed it too high. And so, that one's going to sit there for a while, and it's only going to get 90% of its of the asking price. So when you average, when you throw that all together, you come up with this 98%. So it's still important to price your home correctly. Don't just assume that you can ask some exorbitant amount of money, because if that's the case, it's going to sit there on market and you're going to have to do a price reduction and a price reduction and a price reduction.
You're hearing from the residential real estate expert on Downtown Depot, Austin Hooper, for the monthly segment, The Residential Recap. Thanks so much for stopping by.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
I'm now joined in studio by Dr. Jane Dameron. She is a senior lecturer in communication department at Baylor. Welcome to the program.
Thank you so much for having me, Austin.
What's your Waco history?
Ooh, Waco history. So my husband Caleb and I finally moved to Waco in September of 2016. And I say finally because I had actually been teaching at Baylor for several years at that point. But we had been living in Temple. And it was kind of a centrally located town in between my work, his work. I was working on my PhD at UT Austin. And so we thought, this is practical. We'll stay in Temple and both commute. But we would find ourselves every weekend, we'd be in Waco. We'd be coming to restaurants we like. We'd be coming to coffee shops we like. Coming to the wine shop. Coming to events. And we were like, we need to be in Waco. Like, we love what's happening. And I just felt like it was hard to be away. You know, your job is there. You're connected there. And I just didn't like having to commute and be 45 minutes away from the heart of the action. So we rented an apartment in Waco, put our house on the market in Temple, and we've been here ever since.
So those, the restaurants and bars that you liked, were those just not in Temple, or did you like the people that were in Waco that were going, you know, similar restaurants and bars here? How would you compare Temple and Waco? Because I hear them, you know, they are kind of synonymous in some ways.
Yes, certainly. I think that for me, Waco has been more intellectually and culturally stimulating. I think that there is more of a focus on events and interesting things to do, interesting people. And there's great people in Temple and good restaurants and things like that. But I did feel like there was just more action and more momentum in Waco, and our favorite places were here. There's more of a, I would say, kind of a chain restaurant vibe in Temple. But Waco, you see more of those small business owners, entrepreneurs doing exciting things. And so we just felt that there was movement and just momentum in Waco, like I said, and we wanted to be here. So,
are Caleb and you still living in that apartment?
We sure are. Yeah. And the reason we still live there, we sold our house, we just haven't even moved, is because it's so perfectly located. It's right between Uptown Waco and Castle Heights. We walk to our favorite coffee shop. We walk to our favorite wine bar. We walk to our favorite breakfast place. And so it's just so neat to be right there, so accessible between downtown Waco, Uptown Waco. And so it's like, we know we need to jump in and buy a house, but we also just love where we're at. And we're kind of going to kind of wait until something perfect pops up. So
after you were tabbed for the Collins Outstanding Professor Award, you got to take the reins of the Baylor University Instagram account, and you used that platform to go around and show all of the followers of Baylor University what some of your favorite places were, checking into Pinewood Roasters.
Absolutely.
I love that you took that opportunity to sort of pull the curtain back and show people a bit what your life was
like. Well, I think I kind of see what my role in Waco is, not just to be a consumer, but to be both a patron and a promoter. I mean, I use my Instagram to showcase my friends who are doing cool things, to highlight events that I'm going to promote businesses that are doing interesting new initiatives. And so I feel like I shouldn't just live in Waco and consume, but I should also share and also let people know all the exciting things that are going on. And so that's really a passion of mine, is to not just be here, but to be an active part of it, even if it is as a patron and as a promoter. And so it was great to be able to take that over and show, of course, the work side of things, but also to show, hey, there are so many cool things happening in Waco. We're more than Baylor. There is a living, breathing ecosystem in this town that people need to know about. So I loved being able to do that, and it was really fun. Yeah.
Ashley Thornton from Act Locally Waco has this phrase of creator versus consumer.
Yeah.
And you're talking about being not just a consumer, although you love consuming yummy drinks at the wine shop and going for cocktails at Milo. But really creating a buzz around your friend's coffee shop or the new art gallery that's opening up.
Absolutely.
And is that something for you that an obligation sounds like it's negative, but you realize that as someone who has a large following and with lots of students who clearly, because of them putting you up for this award, care about your opinions and want to know, it feels like the onus is on you to be sharing all of this information with people who care about your opinions and what you have to say.
Yeah. Well, I think I have this motto in life: if you think something nice, why not tell the person? And so I have kind of extended that to just my free time. If I'm doing something I enjoy and I'm going and I'm eating a great meal, or I'm sitting and I'm listening to a classical concert at Cultivate or jazz at, you know, any of these places that have live music, I want to share about that. Like, I want to let people know this is cool, this is fun, this is happening, you should join in. And I think that cities thrive and towns thrive when people go to these events, right? And when they are attending and when they're checking it out for themselves. And so I think that if by my Instagram posts I can encourage someone to go to that latest Cultivate 712 show, that's just going to be better for Waco, because the more we get involved, the more we attend things, the more those things thrive. So yes, it's kind of just a passion of mine to just, when I see something good and when I see something exciting, I want to talk about it. I want to share it, whether that's a good quality in a friend or whether that is a great meal at the restaurant down the road.
There's the classic principle in communication of levels of disclosure.
Mm-hmm.
If I tell you that my sister's going through cancer treatment, you tell me that your mom's also sick, but that doesn't have to be negative.
Mm-hmm.
If I tell you that I saw an amazing concert last night, you're more likely to check that place out.
Yes.
And you want to share that with your friends as well.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, I just think that there's so many cool things happening as far as entrepreneurial avenues, but there are lots of people in Waco that aren't starting their own business, but they need to be hearing about the ones that are starting so that they can support them, go to them, love them. And so if I can contribute to that in any way, I'm all about that.
You were recently awarded the Collins Outstanding Professor Award.
Mm-hmm.
That is something that's voted on by the senior class.
Mm-hmm.
You can't have had all of those seniors in class with you.
Yeah.
So it's something that is very reliant on reputation and reading your reviews on BU Books or any of these sites that sort of rate my professor. How are you able to engender such fondness among people that you've never met?
That's a really good and interesting question, and I'm not 100% sure. I feel just insanely humbled by this award. Like, it's hard to believe. But I think that one thing I do that perhaps makes me stand out in some small way in the classroom is that I try to have personal relationships with my students. And I think that that is something that they're not always coming across. Even at a school as student-centric as Baylor, we're busy. We're all busy, and we're doing research, and we're teaching a bunch of classes, and we're serving on committees. And so I think that sometimes even just taking moments out to email students and say, hey, I know you're going through a hard time. Like, what's the best way that I can support you right now? Is something that sticks out in students' minds, and I think that they certainly share that with others and probably talk amongst themselves to some degree about, again, people that are making a personal connection. And I just believe in that. I believe in relationships. I believe in one-on-one kind of moments where you show value and you show that person matters. And so I hope that that has been something that's been meaningful to my students and perhaps something that they practice with the people that they're close to as well.
You're hearing from Dr. Jane Dameron, Senior Lecturer in Communication at Baylor. Take me into the classroom. You teach four different courses right now: interpersonal comm, nonverbal comm, small group comm, and speech for business and professional students. What is your style, and how does that classroom setting feel?
Yes, I love being in the classroom. I think I come alive to some degree in that setting. And part of that is because I make it very discussion oriented. Yes, of course, we have our concepts that we're covering and our material that we're diving into. But a lot of it is me saying, okay, let's open this up. What are examples where you've seen this in real life? What are ways that this is going well and poorly? How do we kind of synthesize these concepts and think about them in terms of our broader culture, but also in terms of our close relationships? So
the distinction is that you aren't telling people, but you are phrasing a conversation so that they can tell you,
exactly,
how is this going poorly? How could this improve? Rather
sure.
than you telling them, this is how it can improve, because obviously you know.
Yes. Yeah. So it's just that idea of looking at applications, looking at putting together concepts in their mind, helping them talk about it and explain it in their own words. And I just really, really try to make it a participatory environment. And I think that for a lot of students, that works really well in terms of making it memorable and personalizing it for themselves, where they're thinking about this, yes, in terms of the science and in terms of the theories, but also in terms of practical applications.
When you are having a conversation with a student and they are struggling with a particular concept, how do you help bring that to a ground level with them? Like, I would think with something like communications, it's pretty apparent. Like, if I'm telling you that nonverbal cues are important and you're over here giving me side eye, that's a pretty strong nonverbal cue.
Yeah.
But I guess you can relate a lot of the issues that people are having to real life concepts. I don't know. What is your strategy for dealing with students who maybe having a hard time with something?
Yeah. Well, I think A lot of times it's about taking time with them to pinpoint what is the source of confusion for them or where the breakdown is. And that's a basic communication principle as well, is find the source of the breakdown and then target that. And so I think that just me being able to converse with students one-on-one, to hear their questions, to explain things in multiple ways so that they can kind of see it from different angles, I think is always helpful. But ultimately it's about me figuring out where they're at and how I can connect with them in the best way and explain that material or personalize that material to them in a way where the light bulb comes on.
This week, I had my final session of Leadership Waco, which is a year-long leadership training course put on by the Chamber. And this month's focus was tourism. So hit a lot of local hotspots. Of course, we go to the Magnolia Silos. Mm-hmm. And someone who's been in the class with me, this guy Jordy Barksdale, is on the culture team at Magnolia. And he went through a slide deck of what they tell all of their new employees. Mm-hmm. But one thing that he mentioned was that they literally train their employees to raise their eyebrows when talking to someone because that makes you it makes you look less aggressive.
Yeah.
And it makes you look genuinely interested, even if someone's sharing something that isn't particularly cool. But if I am someone who wants to better communicate with the people in my world, what are some tangible ways that we all can improve in our communication styles?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think one thing is listening well. I think if you're listening well and really hearing what the other person is saying and perhaps what's behind what they're saying, I think it gives you more tools to respond accordingly. So I think that that's a skill that many of us are just too busy or too distracted to do it justice.
And so how do you listen well?
How do I personally, or how does one listen
well? How does
well?
One listen well?
I think it's focus, putting away the phone, making eye contact, tracking with them. If they've said anything, if you've gotten lost, try to get back on track by saying, oh, wait, let me make sure I'm tracking with you, or let me, I hear you saying X, Y, or Z. And so I think that a lot of it is reducing distractions and focusing in and having that one-on-one moment with that person where they are the focus. And so I think distractions are oftentimes something that we are, I don't know, we just get off track with it and then we've lost that person's message and we lost our moment, our ability to really hear them.
What are your favorite resources for growing?
Well, I enjoy reading, enjoy books. I recently read a great book called Essentialism, which was looking at cutting out the things that are kind of bogging you down and wasting energy. So I think reading, but I also love talking to people who I think are knowledgeable in their subject field, and also just watching things, listening to things. I love listening to NPR. And so I think that searching out people who are doing unique things and have a perspective and a viewpoint of their own is really important to me. I actually find Instagram to be an educational platform for me. I follow a lot of artists. I follow a lot of writers, people with different opinions and different perspectives on the world. And I love kind of integrating that into my daily life as an easy way for me to find good content without having to sit down and take out a book. So
one of my favorite tools I've come across recently is a podcast that's called The Knowledge Project by this guy named Shane Parrish. But he had a tweet a couple days ago that reminded me of something he said earlier. So much advantage in life comes from being willing to look like an idiot over the short term. And if you're willing to ask the question, if you are confused about something, if you're listening well and say, hey, slow down a minute, I really want to know what you're saying.
Yes.
If you look like a little bit of a dummy in the short term, you will reap such long-term benefits from being willing to prostrate yourself, be a little bit humble, and just recognize that this person has something to say to me. They're trying to tell me, and it's disingenuous of me to act like I know what they're saying, because that's not either of our intentions.
Totally. And I think sometimes we're so focused on what we're going to say next that we're missing their message entirely. And so I think sometimes just taking a back seat and really wanting to hear the perspective of the other person is really powerful.
What's on tap for you this summer?
This summer, I am doing a summer faculty institute at Baylor, which is kind of like professor camp. So that should be fun, taking a break from the classroom. Caleb and I are going to do some traveling. And I just really want to just soak up everything that the Waco art scene has to offer. Our good friend Ty Nathan Clark has a show coming up at Cultivate. And so I'm excited to see what he has in store for that. And just, again, frequent our favorite places, see our friends, and just really pour into Waco and be here. Soak it up.
I caught up with Ty a couple weeks ago, and he was telling me a little bit about planning this show.
Yeah.
And Ty is a contemporary artist who does really huge paintings. But for this show in particular, he's working on sculpture.
Mm-hmm.
And his goal was to have some work that's available to Waco patrons at a price point that, you know, in the mm-hmm. couple thousands rather than in the five or six, you know,
right.
not six digits yet for Ty,
mm-hmm.
but his star is ascendant and
yeah.
he knows what Ty
oh, for sure.
might be doing and where Ty's
yes.
work might be shown in the future.
Yeah.
But it is so important to, as you know, Ty as being an artist who wants to do something good for Waco, it's very kind of him to sort of step mm-hmm. down a level and make things that are accessible. But it's so important for Wacoans and people who mm-hmm. want to support the art scene to just say, like, yes, this is cool. I love coming to Cultivate.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's time for me to put my money where my mouth is.
Exactly. Yes. And that's something that we do prioritize is buying local artists. We have several of Ty's pieces in our home. We have several of Sean Oswald's pieces in our home, Greg Llewellyn. So I think that there is something to be said for, yes, go to the shows, but save those pennies, scrounge away, because art in your home is not only beautiful and inspiring, but it's also a way to contribute actively to the local market and the infrastructure here. So, yeah.
And it's also a store of value. You could go have a
Absolutely.
Gold block, or
mm-hmm.
you could have a beautiful Ty Clark painting
yeah.
on the wall. One of them looks cool. One
yes.
of them looks dumb. You are so involved with this scene. I got to sit next to your husband and you at a dinner at Cultivate mm-hmm. 712 a few months
yes.
ago. What have you noticed in the art scene? You know, you've been a big proponent of it,
mm-hmm.
But what sort of evolution have you seen in the last 6 months or year?
Mm-hmm. Well, obviously, it's really neat to watch the work that Rebecca and Jeremy do at Cultivate and just see how they are curating all these different shows and bringing in voices that we might not otherwise hear. So I think that their curation of these different themes and these different shows and the way that they promote it, I mean, I've been able to see work and Cultivate that I don't think I would have ever seen had they not been putting all these different artists together who are doing a similar type of work or maybe painting or working on similar, like I said, themes. And so I love that as far as just how it's being curated. But even whether it's the collective, Mammoth Collective that we've seen, which is kind of a new cool thing that's happening, or whether it's other artists that are getting together to talk. I've heard about that, just artists getting together to talk and learn from each other and kind of build coalitions of people who are doing similar creative things. So I think that I'm seeing growth and I'm seeing organization in new ways amongst the artists that I think is going to be really healthy in the next couple of years. So,
the beloved Dr. Jane Damron, sharing some of her insight as a Baylor professor and a proponent of the arts in Waco. Thank you so much for
coming. Thank you so much, Austin. I loved it.
Thanks again to Dr. Jane Damron, Greg Gleim, Austin Hooper, and you for tuning in once again. I'll be hosting a fun event Tuesday night and would love to see you downtown for my class, Learn to Podcast. Waco Business News is partnering with the Continuing Ed program at McLennan Community College to educate lifelong learners on how you can get involved with the medium of podcasting. If you enjoy KWBU shows like Downtown Depot, the TED Radio Hour, or This American Life, you're already familiar with the blueprint to making your own production. My class, Learn to Podcast, will take place on April 23rd from 6 to 7:30 p.m. downtown at Hustle Coworking, and there are a few spots still available. More info can be found at mclennan.edu. I'm Austin Meek with Waco Business News, and you've been listening to Downtown Depot, where we track the ins and outs of Waco business.